Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight, as we seek to understand what you have given to us through the hand of your faithful prophet, Daniel, may what he saw inform our minds, and may how he lived challenge each of us to the core of our values. Remind us tonight that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. But there are troublous days between now and then. Help us not to shy away from the bold statements the prophets make about a time of Jacob's troubles. Those events that we've already scanned in the book of the Revelation, when this earth and life as we have experienced it on this earth will be radically changed. Create within us understanding hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The year was 538 BC. The kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar had passed from the scene. Medo-Persia had taken the prominence of Gentile world leadership. This was no surprise to Daniel because he had earlier in his life interpreted two sets of visions about the future governance of the world during that time that the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. In 538, Daniel understood through his study of the book of Jeremiah that a period of judgment upon the Jewish people was coming to an end. Jeremiah had written that for 70 years, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that group of people we call the Jews, that for a period of 70 years, they would be separated from their land. They would be foreigners in a foreign land, subjects under a Gentile domination. Jeremiah promised that at the end of that 70-year period, God would deliver his people, the Jewish people, and that they would return back to the land of Israel. As Daniel came to that understanding, he sought God in prayer. God answered by sending Gabriel, and Gabriel was to inform Daniel through what has been called the 70-week prophecy. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 9, I'd like to read that prophecy quickly. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It is important to note in what precedes in Daniel and Gabriel's conversation that this prophecy has a specified people. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 22. Gabriel says to Daniel, "Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you. For you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people." Mark that. Daniel's people are the subject of this prophecy. "And for your holy city," that's not New York, and that's not Rome, that's Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was holy because it was the city that God chose as the place to plant his tabernacle, and the place where he raised up David and David's kingship, the place that would be the capital of God's kingdom on earth. Your holy city. So we're talking about events that are directed by God, determined by God, that affect specifically Daniel's people, the Jews, and that holy city we call Jerusalem. Now, these 70 weeks are determined to accomplish six things: to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. The point of the passage is that 70 weeks, Hebrews says 70 sevens, is the period of time that God will use. He has determined that long will take place as he deals with Daniel's people and the city in order to ultimately accomplish these six things. And when those 70 sevens are completed, these six goals will have been realized by God. That offends some people to think that God is still being faithful to his promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Moses, to David, that the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still have a future, and that the promises that the prophets made to them are going to be actually, literally fulfilled on this earth. If you do not understand that, or worse, if you do not believe that, then you will have great difficulty tracing the line of revelation in the scripture. Over and again, God insists that he intends to fully fulfill literally the promises he made through the prophets to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is here saying, Daniel, there's a period of time, 70 weeks, and at the end of that 70 weeks, when I have dealt with your people and your city, these six things will have been accomplished. Now you need to know the starting point for that 77s. When's this going to start? Well, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. If you were in doubt about the city, God spells it out for you. Until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Daniel is given a starting point and a concluding point that covers the first 69 of the total 70 weeks that are the prophecy. Notice, the thing that will signal the begin of the prophetic time is a command to restore and build Jerusalem. Jerusalem, in 538, when Daniel was receiving this prophecy, lay in ruins. No temple, no walls, no Jewish population. But out in the future, God says, he's going to put it upon the heart of someone who will have the authority to give a command, and as a result of that command, the city of Jerusalem would be restored. It says that the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Even though there will be resistance to this, God will accomplish his purpose. You can read about this prophecy being fulfilled in the book of Nehemiah. And there, Nehemiah gives a command. Nehemiah's boss, the king, gives a command specifically to restore the city and the wall in Jerusalem. Nehemiah takes off on that task. That was in 445 BC. As a matter of fact, it is so carefully documented that you can actually know the month and the day when that prophecy was initiated, when that pronouncement was made. Read about it, Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, from the going forth of that command, not the restructuring of the city, not the dedication of the wall, but from the going forth of that command until Messiah the Prince would be 69 of these 70 weeks of time. Now, what does it mean, Messiah the Prince? It's an apposition. You could translate it this way: until Messiah presents himself as Prince of your people. And that took place on the day we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophet's prediction, sat upon a donkey, rode down the slope of the Mount of Olives, crossed the Kidron Valley, or probably across the bridge that led over the Kidron Valley, and presented himself to the nation as their Messiah. You remember on that occasion, the children went into spasms, and they said all kinds of things that were absolutely soaked in messianic implications. And Jesus' enemies said, "Don't you hear what the children are saying? Make them be quiet." And Jesus said, if the children weren't speaking, the stones themselves would cry out. On that day, the 69 weeks came to conclusion. It is thought by some that perhaps that's how the Magi were able to interpret the significance of the star that they saw over Bethlehem that led them to make their pilgrimage to Bethlehem. They knew the date when the command had gone forth to rebuild and to restore Jerusalem. They were privy to the Old Testament documents. They could count. They could figure time, chart months and years. And they could well have calculated that if God's Messiah is going to present himself as Prince to the nation of Israel, he would be about 30 years old. Therefore, if we calculate the time from the going forth of the decree to build and restore Jerusalem to its conclusion, knock off about 30 years, that star must mean the birth of the Messiah King to the Jewish nation. Therefore, acting upon faith in the promises and predictions of the Old Testament prophets, they made that dangerous and long journey from their land over to Jerusalem, logically concluding that a Jewish king would be born in the Jewish capital. Of course, they did not know the intrigue that surrounded Herod and his rulership. But the angel instructed them not to fall prey to Herod's plot and sent them back another way. Think about that this December. There's yet 1 week remaining in the prophecy. 69 have been used. Verse 26, after the 62 weeks, the ones referred to already, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Looking back, it's easy for us to understand that's a reference to what happened to Jesus within the week of Palm Sunday when they led him out to the brow of Calvary and they killed him. Not because of his transgressions or not because of failure on his part, but as the text prophesies, not for himself. He died as a substitute in your place and mine. His death was vicarious, that is, on behalf of others whose own death could not purchase for them salvation. If we die, that's just fair payment because the wages of sin is death. So if we're sinners and we die, we're even. But if you're sinless, and he was, and if you're God, and he was, then by one sinless death, he could provide salvation sufficient for all the sins of all men of all time in every place. And he did. So after the first 69 weeks are finished, Messiah is cut off, but not for himself, not because of anything that he did that would occasion his being killed. Now watch. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. And till the end of the war, desolations are determined. So after the first 69 weeks are concluded, Messiah is going to be crucified, and then the city that has been rebuilt, Jerusalem, is going to be destroyed by an invading army. The people shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So both the temple and its sacrificial system and the city itself is going to be destroyed by a people. And out of those people who destroy the city and the sanctuary, a future prince will rise. Notice the use of the same word. Jesus is identified as Messiah the Prince up there in verse 25, until Messiah the Prince. Now this person is identified as rising not from among the Jewish people, but rather rising from a people who will destroy the Jewish sanctuary and the Jewish city. That's one of the reasons we know that this phrase, the prince that shall come, is not referring to Jesus, but is rather referring to a Gentile who will arise from among the people who destroy the city of Jerusalem. That took place under Titus, the Roman general, in 70 AD, roughly 40 years after Jesus had been crucified and returned to heaven. The city was destroyed then, and from 70 AD until May 1948, the city that we call Jerusalem has been trampled down and has been occupied by other people than the Jews. In 1948, a Jewish group of people declared Israel to be a state. Today, that state occupies the land where the city of Jerusalem sits. They are trying, without much help from their Gentile neighbors, to make that city, Jerusalem, once again their capital. And there is a great group within the Jewish people who want to reestablish the temple and the temple worship on the Temple Mount. But since 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem had been in Gentile hands, and even now tonight, the sanctuary in the city of Jerusalem still remains scattered. It's not there. There is no Jewish temple or sanctuary on the Temple Mount tonight. Now, this prince who's going to come, verse 27, he's going to confirm or strengthen a covenant, a treaty, with many for 1 week. 69 weeks were used from the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah came and presented himself as prince. That's history. The thing that will start this 70th week is a treaty arrangement between this coming Gentile prince and many. He will confirm or make strong a covenant with many, many what? Many of Daniel's people. The prophecy is about the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There will arise on the scene of history a Gentile ruler who will initiate a treaty with the majority of the Jewish people, and through that treaty, other passages indicate, he will establish some semblance of peace. He will be looked upon by the Jewish majority as being their champion, their hero. Some will even attribute to him messianic properties and think that he is indeed the person that has been promised by all the prophecies in the Old Testament. He is a Gentile, however, but he will establish a covenant. In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. In the middle of this last period of 3.5 in, he is going to reverse his position, break his treaty, and go into the temple that will have been built in Jerusalem, the sanctuary, and he is going to stop the sacrifices and desecrate the temple area. He will do that halfway into this 70th week period. We are used to thinking of the term week in relationship to days. This prophecy uses the term week in relationship to years. And that was not uncommon to the Jewish mind. God's economy with the Jewish nation, back under Moses, set up cycles of seven. Every seventh year, the land was to lie. It was not to be tilled. And when you had gone through seven of those seven-year cycles and came to the 50th year, it was called the year of Jubilee. And in that 50th year, all debts were to be settled, all slaves were to be released, all parties and families were to go back to the original portion of the land that was consigned to them by God. It was a time of new beginnings. Now, the nation never really obeyed God in that cyclical seven-year pattern, but God very clearly established that for the welfare and benefit of his people. So to think of 77s as related to 70 times 7 years, or a period of 490 years, is not at all foreign to the Jewish calendar that God had established. If you take the period of time from 445 BC, when the decree went forth, Nehemiah chapter 2, until Jesus presented himself as Messiah on Palm Sunday, you will find that the period is precise. It fits to the day. So much so that Jesus said to the people who rejected him on Palm Sunday, if you had known this, the day of your visitation. He was not just saying, I have fulfilled Bible prophecy by the way I have come on this donkey, but he was saying that this specific day has been on the books for hundreds of years. You should know who I am because of how I come. You should know what my coming means because of the precise fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel. Now we know that there's a break between the end of the 69th week of years and the last week of years because of the two events that God prophesied would take place between the conclusion of one and the start of the other. And they are the death of Jesus Christ within a week of his Palm Sunday. But the destruction of the temple under the Romans took place almost 40 years later, well beyond the constraints of an additional 7 years. If you tried to tack the 70th week directly into the end of the 69th week. And when you realize that the Jewish nation as a people ceased to exist in 70 AD, there was no Jewish nation with whom any Gentile prince could make a covenant or a treaty until today. At least not until 1948, when the Jewish people declared collectively the existence of a Jewish state, a political body that would represent the Jewish people and their interests in the land God had promised them. Now take your chart, please, and note the details. It's the one that says the 70 weeks of Daniel at the top. What you have is four charts so that you can eventually, in the next couple of weeks, put a great deal of detail together. Now, you'll notice that on the chart, which I stole, it's such a good one, you'll notice that the whole time frame of the prophecy, across the top of the bridge, it says the times of the Gentiles. Now, what that means is that when God took the nation of Judah captive in 605 BC through Nebuchadnezzar, at that point, the Jewish nation ceased to exist as an independent entity. And until the command went forth in Nehemiah chapter 2, that's 445 BC, you can see it on that line, 445 BC, until that time, there was no Jewish nation, none. They were scattered among the Gentiles. But following 445 BC, they went back and constructed the city and the walls and the sanctuary. You notice that 483 years passed from the time of that command until Jesus offered himself as Messiah the Prince. That's what that black line represents there. 69 times 7, 483 years. Then Messiah was cut off. That's where the cross is. And it doesn't show on your chart, but about 40 years later, the city was destroyed by the invading Roman Empire, leveled, and the Jewish people ceased to be represented by a state. The last of the 70th week, the 70 weeks, is over here to your right, and it's called Tribulation Period, time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It's a time of God's wrath. It's the time discussed in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. You will notice that the time begins with the signing of this 7-year covenant. The Roman prince, the Gentile prince who will come, will make a 7-year covenant with the Jews. You notice that halfway through, 3.5 years in, he breaks that covenant, and following that covenant, there is a great tribulation. Not just God pouring out wrath upon the earth in the trumpets and the bowls, but also the Antichrist persecuting God's people on the earth. So that 70th week, that 7-year period that completes this prophecy, is broken in two parts. We know from Matthew 24:25, which you'll study with me next week, that Jesus Christ returns, and his return concludes that 70th week. He establishes his kingdom upon the earth, and that's how these six things are accomplished. The six things are listed for you in the upper left-hand corner of the chart. So when Jesus Christ returns, he will finish transgression. He will rule this world with the rod of iron. He will dispatch Satan to the abyss. He will atone for sins. He'll make an end of sins. And any public exhibition of sin will be terminated. He will make reconciliation for iniquity. He will have done that at the cross, of course. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. That's when the resurrection of the Old Testament saints takes place and lots of other interesting things. He will seal up the vision of prophecy. That is, he will complete in history, in real time, all that has been predicted by the prophets of the past. So it will be sealed up. That is, it will be accomplished. It will be effected in time. And lastly, he will anoint the most holy or a most holy place. He will establish upon the throne in Jerusalem a Davidic lineage that will be holy, that will be sinless, and he will rule the world in and through that one, and that kingdom will never end. It will be challenged by a revolt at the end of the 1,000 years, but that revolt will be quickly dispatched, and that kingdom established on earth will continue forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So those six things will be accomplished when Jesus Christ returns. And you can see up there at the right-hand side of the chart, the author of this chart said Matthew 24, 15 through 29. And that's where we're going next week. Now, class, this is the most important, the most significant prophecy of the Old Testament. In terms of chronology, God here dealt in real time. I want you to know three things. Number one, as the author of the chart has shown you, the gap between the cross and the covenant, the gap between the cross and the covenant, God is not fulfilling this prophecy with his people, the Jews, during that time. There is a whole new redemptive community that is brought into existence after Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah. That redemptive community is called the church, the body of Christ. It began at Pentecost. It will conclude in the rapture. During this period of time, all who come to faith in Jesus Christ are made one in the same body. Your nationality doesn't count. Once in a while, my Jewish brothers who meet Jesus Christ will get exuberant and try a little one-upmanship. They will claim to be completed Jews. And I love to say, yes, and I'm a completed hillbilly. And today, you have no advantage over me. We are one in the body of Christ. Whole books of the New Testament are devoted to that study. We must get into that subject sometime more fully. But in this period, Jews and Gentiles, all the Gentiles who come to Christ, are part of one body, and those ancient barriers that separated us, the Old Testament law with its rituals and its regulations, those have been done away. They have been suspended. They are no longer applicable to today's believer, whether he is Jew or Gentile, they are no longer applicable. We are in a new community. Number two, that's the first thing. Number two, the 70th week with the signing of that covenant starts a period on earth which is keyed to the Jewish people. It is keyed to Daniel's people. It is not keyed to the church. The covenant is not between the Antichrist or the coming world prince and a Gentile church leader. As a matter of fact, the book of the Revelation will show us that the church during that 7 years will be supporting that false prince. They will join with that prince in the persecution of the Jewish people in an attempt to annihilate all descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Note that. That is very important for you to see. This 7-year period out there in the future is connected to and completes the 69 weeks back here. All 70 are made concerning Daniel's people and Daniel's city and God's dealing with them. The church is not present in this prophecy. It's not seen. The truth about the church has not even been revealed when Daniel died. So first of all, note that in that gap between the conclusion of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week, there is a new paradigm, the church. Notice, secondly, that the 70th week belongs to the first 69, and it has to do with the Jewish people on earth, a Jewish earthly people who begin this period by making a 7-year treaty. Note also that when the treaty is broken in the middle of the week, that divides this week into two equal portions. That becomes your key to the book of the Revelation, chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. For in those verses, you will find many time references. You will find phrases that say 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years broken into month periods. You will find the phrase time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. You will find 1,260 days. That's the number of days in a 42-month period in 3.5 years. You will find that those time frames are always the same. And you will find that they describe activities that take place in the first or the second half of this 7-year period that completes and concludes Daniel's prophecy. This prophecy is so important that Jesus said, "Do your homework," to his disciples when they said, "Tell us, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" He said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, he who reads, let him understand." Jesus built upon the fabric of this prophecy. He stood on it as the keystone or cornerstone for the disciples to be able to understand the times and the events that were future to them and that led up to the end of the time of Gentiles, that led up to the end of life on this earth before Jesus returns. Our Heavenly Father, we're here to learn your ways and to understand your plan. I pray that every student here would now sit down quietly, read the text, and trace its outline on the little chart. Confirm to them that the church is not involved. Confirm to their heart that that 70th week is Jewish. And show them how that provides an understanding to all that you tell us about the last 7 years before Jesus returns. There's so much, Father, in this marvelous book of Daniel. Thank you that you added this prophecy so that we could understand and we could then interpret the rest of the prophecies accurately. As we continue next week to study from the lips of our Savior, show us how what he says grows out and expands and advances more information about what will take place and the kinds of events that will lead up to this period, this last 7 years. Dismiss us now to further study and to fellowship with one another, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One last comment, a question. Does the 70th week of Daniel begin when the rapture takes place? Yes? All of you who say yes, stand. All of you who don't know, stand. All of you who think no, stand. Everybody stand. Get out of here. The answer is no. The 70th week begins at the signing of the covenant, not at the rapture of the church. Remember that. There'll be a quiz.